Friday, November 11th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. It is Friday. That means we're going to get some questions for our Ask the Pastor segment. Harry, before we get to those questions, do want to acknowledge that today is Veterans Day.
First of all, we give praise to God for our inalienable rights. Then we give thanks to those who in God's providence have been called and enabled to protect the free exercise of those rights.
Harry, our first question for today's edition of Ask the Pastor comes from Warren. He says, it seems to me that Acts 21:4 shows a great sin in the Apostle Paul. Let me read that verse for you. And after looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. Harry, I think Warren's question is, if these disciples were speaking in the Spirit, then why was Paul not listening to them?
Well, because by the Spirit, he had been compelled to go to the city and had already been informed that affliction and imprisonment awaited him. Now, by the way, that awaited him in every single setting that he finds himself. And so he arrives at Tyre. It was a place where Paul seeks out to meet with the disciples, and they have met together for 7 days. Now, in the context of those 7 days, the disciples are urging him not to go to Jerusalem. They are aware of the things that are going to affect him. Now, the question our listener is asking is an excellent question. Is this speaking in the Spirit an act of revelation that if Paul disobeys, he's disobeying God? I don't think so, because he has already told us that as an apostle, he has been instructed to go there. Not only there, but every city you go to, you are facing imprisonment and affliction. You can't dodge this. And so I believe what you have here is a Spirit-filled gathering of God's people. That does not mean that everything is said is revelation to Paul. It can be illumination of concern and compassion, which is what I believe the disciples are giving. This does not contradict what the Holy Spirit has already said to him that motivated him to leave Ephesus to set out for Jerusalem. This was a calling that was not countermanded by this gathering of a Spirit-filled concern that was given to the Apostle Paul. This is further affirmed because before he gets to Jerusalem, he goes to Caesarea by the sea. He stays with Philip the evangelist and his four daughters, and while he is there, a preacher of the Lord is sent with a prophetic word to him. His name is Agabus, and Agabus takes Paul's belt and says, the man that owns this belt is going to be bound. Well, Agabus is affirming what the Holy Spirit has already said to him, that he is now bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem where he is going to be bound. And while the disciples back in Tyre express their great desire, there are times when God's people filled with the Spirit give us advice that we have to thank them for their concern, but it doesn't change our course of action in terms of what God has called us to do. This is not Paul disobeying a revelatory command of the Spirit through disciples. This is Paul receiving Spirit-filled admonition from disciples, but it doesn't countermand the revelation word from the Spirit of God to him personally and confirmed a few days later by Agabus. But let me quickly affirm that does not mean Paul doesn't sin. Paul, like any of the rest of us, sins, and he himself has already told us that. I think you only have to refer to his words that he is the chief of sinners.
Harry, our second question comes from Carol. She says, in one of your recent podcasts on Today in Perspective, you discussed the push toward transgenderism in our country. I don't remember Planned Parenthood mentioned. I've heard recently that Planned Parenthood is indeed now offering transgender services.
I want to thank Carol for the question because it alerted me to that initiative in Planned Parenthood that I was not aware of. Tom, not only is Planned Parenthood broadening their services since they're obviously losing their mainstay of abortion services. But in light of the election, they could be on the verge of losing this $500 million support package from the federal government. So what they're doing is they're broadening their services and furthering their commitment to the LGBTQAI+. And Tom, one of the things we said about this election, in light of the Dobbs decision that put the issue of elective abortions back to the states, how many states that are committed to pro-life are passing legislation to protect the life of the preborn, and how many that are embracing abortion and child sacrifice through elective abortions, how many of those are attempting to codify it in their state policies and constitution. Well, Michigan is one of those with what they call Proposition 3. Proposition 3 not only is an attempt to remove the requirement of parental assent, which now is established in Michigan, and judicial review of any dismissal of parental consent on behalf of a minor attempting to get an abortion. In other words, a minor cannot get an abortion without parental consent or without judicial review as to why parental consent should be dismissed. They're wanting to remove both of those, parental consent and judicial review, and that a child can simply get an abortion anytime that they desire, that they have a quote-unquote right in name of this human reproductive freedom, Proposition 3, that is promising reproductive health care. Well, number one, it is not reproductive health care. Taking the life of a preborn child is not health care because they're inconvenient, unwanted, or imperfect. Secondly, it's not care. It's not health care, and it's not care. It is vocabulary deception in order to move us further into the embrace of sexual anarchy, which is pervasively moving in our culture. But what it also does, it calls for the removal of parental consent in terms of a child's desire for gender-affirming therapy. And Planned Parenthood becomes the number two provider of the drugs and the surgical referencing for gender-affirming therapy and referencing into surgical gender reassignment. So this Proposition 3 would now allow children without parental consent to pursue this gender-affirming therapy. Now, let me explain to you what that is. Not only is Proposition 3 in Michigan attempting to affirm elective abortion on demand without parental consent or judicial review, adding to the coffers of Planned Parenthood in Michigan, but now they've broadened it. They're the number two provider of quote-unquote gender reaffirming therapy, which means now without parental consent, minors can come to Planned Parenthood in order to obtain the drugs that castrate male children or sterilize female children. What you do to the child in this gender reaffirming is going to make them dependent upon doctors the rest of their life. Also, they'll have to keep coming back for more drugs, more surgeries, more medical visits, and that makes them dependent upon the medical guild. So remember what we have said, this cultural revolution is fueled by financial profitability, and that's what Proposition 3 is all about. So Carol, again, thank you for the question, and this is why we said this midterm election is a crucial election, even though it's non-presidential, because of all of these life issues. And again, Planned Parenthood is attempting to reap the financial profits by finding another way into the state coffers of tax revenue as well as the federal coffers of tax revenue.
As we are recording this edition of Ask the Pastor, they're still counting the votes for Proposition 3. We'll give you the results of that vote in coming podcast. As we close out for today, let me remind you, if you have a question for Harry, send it to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. We look forward to hearing back from you. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father this Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today in perspective.